Paradise is such a place. Paradise is such a place. It's the highest level place. It's a high grade, high status. And to go into paradise, Allah has selected such people. And in the noble Quran, Allah has mentioned those people. Obviously, such a high level place in paradise, not minor level people won't go there, will they? Insignificant people won't go there, will they? Jannah, paradise, the great rewards Allah's mentioning in the Quran. So, it's stated that the prophets will go there. Nabiyin Siddiqeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the martyrs, the alim, scholar, the hafiz, memorize the Quran, qari, recite of Quran. Obviously, the higher class people, isn't it? High class sector. So how will us miskeen, lower level people go there? Because majority is of miskeen in the ummah. How many shuhada are there? Tell me. How many high level people are there, Siddiqeen status? How many arifeen are there? How many awliya Allah are there on the high status? And how many people are those who have the ownership of Quran, of knowledge, and who are the proper hafidh of practicing? The high maqamat in Jannah, paradise. So obviously Allah Ta'ala has decorated and prepared Jannah for them. So that woman who lives in the village, in a desert area, in the wilderness, in a village, she doesn't know how to read Quran, she doesn't know how to recite the kalima, but her heart is very clean, the poor soul. And when she hears the word from the Mawlanas, when the loudspeaker, you know, in the desert village areas, then when she hears the loudspeaker, she has a concern, how will I get into Jannah? That these are all the big people who are being told to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala says that anyone can die. A small child that's born can die. 4 years old child could die. 11 years old child could die. So, and he will go into Jannah. He's not hafidh, qari, no shaheed, nothing. So this is such a Allah Ta'ala's distribution, subhanallah, that any level a person is on, the poor soul, any level person is on, any level of status or rank, but the go to the high levels of Jannah, Allah has prepared such a solution that even that person can reach to the high levels of Jannah. The old woman from the village, she can reach there. 2 a.m. a sister phoned me in the same way, that I heard your bayans, and that you tell everyone they're going to paradise. What will happen to me? Where will I go? Yes, I haven't read the Quran. I've got any education. Tell me, Hazrat Sahib, tell me, how do I go to paradise? I said, ooh, obviously, it's the right point, she said, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala, just like me, yes, mashallah, I'm not educated, I'm nothing myself. So for me, such women, such people, what does Allah prepared? Dhikrullah is the solution. Dhikrullah. What a great solution Allah has given. That when people with knowledge, high status go, then even the dhakirin, the dhakir will also be going into paradise. Yes, she is not educated, she's not literate, she has a desire for paradise. So Allah Ta'ala has given a beautiful solution. The small child, young, wants to go to paradise, this young child. Yes, he wants to get the high maqam, high level. In other words, such a brilliant ibadah is the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, that all human beings, the whole cross-section of society of the believers are covered by dhikrullah. Is this the case or not? This woman came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an elderly woman, like this lady that rang me yesterday. She said, "Oh Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm totally useless, I have nothing to my name, I also want paradise. Please tell me, what action shall I do? But I'll tell you one thing clearly, that I can't read too much. I can't read too much." Subhanallah. What straightforward people they were. Eh? Great, honest, straightforward. She's speaking to the Prophet of Mercy. How much mercy the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he never minded if someone said something like this. He said, "Okay, that's fine, but don't do this. That, don't tell me that read this, read that, recite this. I can't read too much. Yeah, but I want to go to paradise. I want to go to paradise. Yeah, tell me something, some action. You are the Prophet. You explain to me. You have everything. You have the knowledge. You have the methods. You have the techniques. Tell me how to go to paradise." Rasulullah smiled. "Can you read Subhanallah?" She said, "Yeah, I can read Subhanallah." Allahu Akbar. Look at the solution. Ease. Tell me. That Subhanallah, what is that in terms of length? Small young child, you can tell him, the child to say Subhanallah. And the woman from the village, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the response so light, so easy, so simple. Say Subhanallah, everyone. Subhanallah. Yeah? Everyone who said Subhanallah in paradise, your tree has been planted for you. Your tree. And your tree has been planted. So will you not go to paradise if the tree is planted for you in paradise? Obviously the tree will say, where's that person who planted me? Who grew me? Allah will say that he's planted you, he's in the dunya. Where's that servant? The tree will say. One subhanallah has taken you to paradise. One subhanallah. Imagine. Any ummati should know, ummati should lose hope. We are the ummah of Nabi Rahmah, the Prophet of Mercy. Imagine, subhanallah, you've just said, glory be to Allah. I'll tell you one hadith. That on the day of judgment, most of all, the person who will own their deeds will be who? Subhanallah. That person who said, subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times, he will have the most deeds. The most deeds from everyone, the owner of the most deeds will be the one who recited this, subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times. This is dhikrullah. In one kalima, one verse, there are so many vast oceans. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has sealed the goodness. And it doesn't take time, it's not burdensome, you can stand anywhere and earn paradise. Yes, I don't have time, I don't feel like it. In this era, we are in the scientific, advanced, technological, busy generation. But subhanallah is very easy to say, isn't it? It's stated that person who says subhanallah, imagine the person who says subhanallah, that person has earned that reward that is impossible in this era. It's impossible. In this era, to get that reward, to attain it, is totally impossible. Nobody can attain that reward. Nobody. What is that? That this kalima, the reward he has attained for saying this. What's the reward? That he will get the reward for freeing the slaves. Freeing the slaves. We are saying from the mouth, we don't know what we are reciting. Allah is enabling us to recite these. Such angels, they write the kalima, the angels record them. Such illuminated and enlightened kalimat verses that person who recites this one kalima, subhanallah, glory be to Allah, then imagine that he is getting the reward of freeing the slaves, the ghulams. Subhanallah, what a great honor, great opportunity. With subhanallah, Allah has given another thing in addition. Allah has added something. Wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. And if somebody recites this, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, it's stated that all the foam on the surface of the sea, if he has the sins and that amount of sins, Allah will forgive all of them. And one villager woman, she has done nothing, and she's mashallah, that for example in Pakistan, we have the village areas, the wild areas, so if she was to take this tasbih, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim, tell me where will her reward go? Look how much her grave will be full of noor and light. So we ignore these solutions, formulas, no, tell us more. You know, the people more learned, then they will have a bigger test. An alim scholar has a very high rank, but it's not easy for him, then he will be questioned a lot, his reckoning will be severe. Yes, such questions, that he won't be able to pass those tests, those questions. Very few will pass through that test. Ufad, the high class Muslimin, such high grade, Jannah Allah has made them. But to get there, there will be questioning on the day of judgment. There will be a scale for the Hafid. Yes, weigh your Quran on this scale, the Hafid. Let's see how much dunya come for the sake of the dunya, do this, and how much was for the sake of Allah, and how much was for you personally. So these high class categories of believers, then they will also be tested and assessed and examined more severely. But the dhakireen, they won't be severely tested. Subhanallah. The dhakireen won't be severely tested. The reason is that a person only does dhikr, the person who loves Allah, only that person does dhikr. Tell me this now. That will you ever name your enemies? Yes, will you ever name your enemies? Has anyone said in front of you the enemy's name? Please don't say his name in front of me. I don't want you to say his name. This is the case, isn't it? You dislike that so much. So what does the dhakir do? He just recites Allah's name endlessly. Why? Because there's love for Allah. That's why the dhakir does dhikrullah. So when you'll go to the hereafter, what was this hasab? That he's an ashik. Allah will say, what's the point of reckoning him and giving his accounts and listening? There's no, he just used to remember me. Allah Ta'ala has made a separate door for the dhakirin to enter paradise. Keep going through here, oh dhakirin, going through here. No passport, no visa, no questioning, nothing. Subhanallah, if you put bihamdihi on it, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, imagine how powerful a kalima it becomes. How powerful a kalima it is, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, the whole universe, this is the tasbih, ibadah, worship of the whole universe. Power is not some minor thing to say Allah's name. The whole ibadah, it's complete worship, The whole universe, complete worship is Subhanallah wa bihamdi. And the whole universe gets a rizq, sustenance and provision through this kalima. All malaika do tasbih of this kalima, all the angels. One villager woman, could she not read this? Can she not learn this? Can she not learn this? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. What a great Allah Ta'ala's preparation is made and solution for us to go to paradise. If a person still doesn't go into paradise and he goes to hell, then it's very shocking, my friends. It's a surprise. So easy Allah Ta'ala has made it to get into paradise. These kalamat verses, so much enjoyment in reciting them. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. So great a kalama Allah has given to us, to the ummah. And so much smoothness in reciting it, light Allah has put into it, barakat, blessings. And the person who can't fall asleep, you know, people take sleeping pills, sleeping tablets. Start reciting this dua, this verse, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhan. This will put you to sleep. Yeah. And if you've got a pain, you're going for an operation. You've got pain. Obviously, in the operation, there's pain, difficulty. Recite this kalima. Start reciting this kalima. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Such an effect in this kalima. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. That's it. You don't need to go beyond that. That person will realize, I'm having an operation. I had pain. Am I healed now? And I've got difficulty afterwards. It will make it easy. Dhikr of Allah. Those who do dhikr of Allah. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. High grade. This is the highest class of people. Those who do dhikrullah. The highest class Allah Ta'ala has given to them. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Okay? So they will have such a habit of doing dhikr that in every statement they hear good, they say Subhanallah. They're so used to doing dhikrullah. And I've told you the weight of that, the reward of Subhanallah. Yes, it just comes out of the tongue automatically. When you hear something good, Subhanallah. Say, that's it. Small child, Subhanallah. Small child, Subhanallah. They say, correct, what's happened to you? How will we write the reward, the angels say, for these people? That they just keep doing dhikr. The whole body is doing dhikr. They're doing dhikr in such a way which is the high class, high level dhikr. So do you understand the value now? And alongside that, one other kalima, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. That is then an atom bomb. That's just the end. It's stated that this kalima, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, whoever has recited Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim, you add to it, that Allah says, this is my very beloved kalima, beloved statement. Whoever Allah Ta'ala loves now, imagine. Allah says, I love this person, they're so beloved, this statement, this kalima is recited, when he recites this, my servant, when he comes to me the hereafter, then his mizan scale, when this verse will be put on it, the whole scale will drop down, full of weight. The mizan is not a small thing. The scale of deeds, even if you bought the whole world and the, what it contains, that's how big the scale will be. And when the scale fills, what would be Jannah for that person then? If the scale is bigger than the world. Who is, for what? When he recited, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim, the sweetness of it. The desire, the beautiful, sweet, you could say, effect of this kalima. If these kalimat, if I tell you the rewards, then I think possibly the morning will pass, and it will be afternoon, as half the morning will pass, we discuss the rewards. So my brothers, dhikrullah is a unique action. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, great kalima, great statement. Great verse. The angels, they pass away on this, get their life for this kalima. Because this is their khuraq, this is their food, they stood for this reason. The whole universe is stood with these kalimat. This is the soul, all of the angels, their soul is these kalimat. Dhikrullah, the whole universe is based on, and stood on these kalimat. In existence, the existence is based on these kalimat. The whole universe. This is how great these kalimat is. But because we think they're so short, and small, they should be longer. My brothers, this itself is big enough for us. That's it. So how great an achievement, alhamdulillah, that greater kalima than these, those who do dhikrullah, more kalima, say the dhakireen, they are very high level Muslimin, high level believers, the dhakireen, those who remember Allah, do dhikrullah, that even their small, broken down deeds, even they get taken along and accepted. You have to do hisab, isn't it? Your salah, and because you're high class people, you did this, how did you pray salah? Tell me, give the answer for this. What did you do this? And we'll get stuck. People get stuck in the trap, in the questioning. But the person who does dhikrullah, Allah will say, let's fine, let him go, let his salah go with him, let him go into paradise. Oh, it's fine, his fasting's fine. Oh, everything is fine, his fasting, his prayer, let him go, let him go. Yes, bypass. You know, the airport, you have the luggage that's going, oh, let it go, let it go. Oh, he's fine. Oh, is that his friend? Oh, don't weigh his luggage. Let it go, let it go. Let the luggage go. Just put some more bags on if you've got them. So the dhakirin, these all hadith I'm sharing with you, hadith. Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, and Sahih Muslim, Bayhaqi, Nisa'i, hadith I've just shared with you just now. not some minor action. So brothers, fortunate, we are all fortunate, extremely fortunate. Then how do we get this good fortune? Allahu Akbar. This is the great achievement, that there's a person who does dhikr and he loves dhikrullah. Yes, first and foremost, the person who does dhikrullah, he loves. The friend of Allah, he has the love. How do we know that what does the friend of Allah possess? We would never go to him. He sat there, or he's just a poor man, he's got no money, no wealth. Why should people go to him? People in the world, materialistic people, they wouldn't go to a wali Allah. But the friend of Allah himself, when he loves the human beings, then he pulls on those human beings. He pulls on them. When he pulls on them, then the servant, when he reaches there, then he realizes what is the wealth that this wali Allah possesses. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then the student becomes an ashik, lover of the student. Then the teacher steps back, then he becomes an ashik, a lover. So when there's mutual love between the teacher and student, then the student pulls on the benefit from the teacher. So this is what the wali of Allah possesses. What does he have? Dhikr, the great pearls of dhikr, they distribute, the wali Allah, the teacher distributes, the sheikh, to the student. This is dhikrullah, great action. So don't consider it minor, simple, I can't do it, I don't need to do it, it's not necessary. No, Allah's massive mercy that He allows someone to remember Him. Not just this, that big, long kalimat. If a shaykh, for example, I gave you an example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at the kalimat he gave to the believing woman, the old woman. Yes, he could have said, Subhanallah, Allah Makfirli, that there's Jannah, she's a wablaga, he said, there's Jannah in front of you, what else do you need? What else do you need? So this is how great an asset is dhikrullah, that it takes everyone into paradise, whether he's educated, illiterate, knows how to read Quran, doesn't know how to read Quran, tajweed, doesn't know tajweed. Don't worry, just grab hold of dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. Yes, and focus on your weaknesses. We've wasted time. We haven't done good actions. We haven't done good amal. Our dhikr, Allah, we couldn't get included amongst the high level people who are educated. No worries, Allah says, take hold of dhikrullah, be punctual, regular, and have love for dhikrullah. Look here, especially those people whose faces, they have white beards now. Yes, even if there are two grey white hairs, they come, they consider you old. Even if one white hair comes, that's it. Life is coming to an end. And the white hair tells him that your life is now going towards an end. So start to decrease the connection with the world and increase the attachment. Just one white hair is coming to give you fear, make you aware. This white hair has come out, the white hair that's come to make you scared and remind you, make you aware that you have now gone beyond that stage in the dunya. Now you've come to that stage that your qabr, your grave, you start preparing for it. Leave fraud, leave cheating, because all that you collect, that all of that will become fire of Jahannam for you. Remember this. This white beard, a person when he runs after the dunya, then they're extremely foolish people. Extremely foolish people. Allah stated about them, people that they are like the kalb, like the dog in their tongue. You know, just like the dog has the tongue out panting, isn't it? And the tongue is hanging out. He's not, always the greedy dog, because the Quran has defined that the tongue is hanging out, panting all life long. They run after the dunya. Allah says their hair are white. Still they're running after the dunya. Quarrels, disputes, fighting, counting money, fighting over inheritance, fighting over the houses. And even then they can't go to sleep due to the wealth. And they're running around in the dunya. I've got this house now, I want this now. I said I wanted to build that, I wanted to go there, and this land and that land. The angels of Allah sent curse on that person. He's greedy. Oh dog, greedy dog, aren't you ashamed? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one white hair comes out on your beard, then start to decrease your relationship with the dunya. Your time, your direction of life should change. Your focus. You should detach yourself and detach yourself from everything in the dunya. And you should start to scare, fear, and you should shake and tremble. This is the sign that you are close to the grave now. Obviously, you will have experienced in life that when one grey hair comes out of a person's body, then with speed, all of the rest of the greys and white hairs start to come, and the whiteness and the greyness in the beard comes. Yes, few days after you meet that person, you'll be quite a lot of white hairs. And then shaitan has got colors for them, dying to hide the white hair. How long will you hide the white hair? This is Allah's message to you. Allah sent a message to you, your hairs have gone white or grey. How long will you hide them for? Allah has said that, did I not give a warning to you that your death is coming? Oh Allah, I didn't get any warning. I didn't get anyone, no. Didn't you get a warning? But you didn't accept it, embrace it, that on your body, when your white hairs, you know, this is for those who keep the beards. Obviously they have a great reward. The beard is a great reward itself. How great a reminder is the beard? An additional bonus, that the beard reminds a person. those who have kept the bid. So there's a lot of hikmah, wisdom in keeping the bid. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam implement this one. It's a great wisdom to keep the bid. And when you see one white or grey hair in your beard, then people start to cry that from today my life has told me that your life is soon to come to an end. Your task and duty life will come to an end. Your lifespan will come to an end. But the greedy person, he gets more speedy. He focuses himself more and runs after the dunya. And he starts to collate and collect more. Don't do it like this. Don't do this. Those who have totally white beard, then they're totally finished in the... Yes, they're just getting a bonus every day. They're just sitting on a bonus, pile of bonus. And their time, they should be so busy and occupied towards Allah. Such human beings of complete white beard, they have a beautiful path, alhamdulillah. Because then the person's body gets weak, his limbs, then sicknesses comes, the enjoyment of tahajjud finishes, and then the hard work. Because it goes up till about 40 years, hard work and effort. So an older person can't make effort in worship, then you hear, and that's why they go to the masjid, and they hear about Jannah and hell, they can't implement their deeds, and then they start spluttering and coughing. What should we do? Allah has given them assistance. Go to Waliyullah and Dhikrullah. Go to Waliyullah and Dhikrullah. That's the solution. And then if you want to sit in paradise, then sit in the company of the Waliyullah. Yes, when you sit in the company of Waliyullah, it's paradise. I'm not saying this, this is the hadith that's telling us this. Hadith tells us this. Fartau, graze in that garden and eat the fruits. Graze and eat the fruits in that garden. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we walk past the garden of paradise in the dunya, where will you find that dunya? And eat the fruits? What jannah? Halakul dhikr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gatherings of dhikrullah, they are the gardens of paradise on earth. Yeah? Look at the glory of the Wali Allah. Yes. When I went to the gatherings of Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, then a person totally detaches himself from the world. Totally, I used to forget, where have I come from, where am I going, my journey, that contentment, peace, satisfaction you get in the company of the Wali Allah, the human being forgets everything in the dunya. Because it's a portion of Jannah, it's a garden of paradise, and it's stated, don't go empty-handed, eat and drink, they're grazed there, Allah Ta'ala says. And there are lots of fruits, you are sat in paradise, the Wali Allah will give you fruits to eat. So, as long as you are sat in the company of the Wali Allah, you're sitting in Jannah. So those people who have the white beard, grey beard, they should spend all the time where? In the company of the Wali Allah. Clean your hearts. Take malice, hatred, fighting, quarrelling, and disliking other people, looking at other people's defects. All of these are big sins. What connection do you have with other people? What connection? He's this, she's that, that person's that, he does this, he's got this sickness, he was fraudster, stolen. Was Allah Ta'ala said that He will take the accounts of his deeds from you? Has Allah selected you that you go and do hisab of people and assess and scan their deeds? You worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. Is nobody going to ask you? Allah says, I will ask you, I will question you. So Allah will ask you more, because you ask and go and assess people and pick holes in people. You give your hisab first, Allah will say. That if you pick defects, if you see others' defects, wrongs and errors, then do dua for that person. Pray for that person for his improvement. And do dua as well. Allah, don't put this defect inside me also, Allah. Allah, may I not become like this. And Allah, forgive him, improve him, and forgive me as well, Allah. Look at the difference in the way you look at people. Assess people. Such a human being who picks holes in people, defects, and their errors, mistakes, and creates quarrels and arguments, breaks relationships, his heart will be full of sorrows, full of wrong. But when he has that awareness that my brother's defects, my sister's defects, I'll hide them. And he has husni akhlaq, good conduct manners, meets them with a nice character. And like, I don't know anything bad about you. He meets them with a smile, and he meets them in such a way, I don't know about you, you're more pious than me. Makes them feel like that person who's in front of him, then the sinner, he gets encouragement. He gets encouragement and more passion. That what a good person, yaar. Maybe he doesn't know that I'm a criminal, I'm a sinner, otherwise I don't hide. What I do? But when we meet, he meets me in such a way, I'm hiding my sins. And, oh, you're hiding your sins. I know what you are. You're a fraudster, you're deceitful, your eyes are telling me, your body's telling me. No, we shouldn't do that. That is not the glory of a Muslim, to pick holes and look at defects in others and put them down. Is this a method? Allah Ta'ala says, I will put the veils on the day of judgment. I will put the veils and barriers between a sin of a man. And Allah will say, leave, leave, leave. I will take his up behind the veil. I want to give him success with my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ummah. He's in the ummah. He's ummati. And you are taking out people's defects in the world. Good people. They are bad people. They have problems, issues. They make mistakes. What do you know? And maybe he's asked Allah for forgiveness. And maybe Allah Ta'ala has forgiven him also. Then, and you're running after him and exposing that person. Exposing. I'm giving you an example. An example. Yes, he prays Salah, he does all actions, he recites Quran, does all good deeds. But in his heart, you've got such a big malice about your other brothers. You dislike them, you harbor ill thoughts, ill feelings. No, you shouldn't do this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. That you put all stacks of your deeds in front of others and say that you're better than them. No. Allah Ta'ala likes akhlaq, good manners, conduct. Yesterday I told you a hadith about i'tikaf. The person who does i'tikaf, two hajj, two umrah reward they get. Nafal i'tikaf, the people, if anyone does nafal i'tikaf, then mashallah, the distance between them and hell is like the three trenches wide. They stated if a person doesn't do i'tikaf for this reason, that he has to fulfill the need of a brother, then 10 years of i'tikaf reward he will get. 10 years. Because he's looking after serving his brother or a colleague. 10 years of i'tikaf reward he will get. And the person who sits in i'tikaf, there is no one greater mutaki than a foolish person. He's a more mutaki that he is fulfilling the needs of a person. He's not in i'tikaf. This is our deen, Islam. Yes, this is how a person goes to Allah, close to Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So a person should alert and beautiful his face and fresh, that other people, when they see your face, they get the feeling of shelter and shade and protection. They shouldn't be scared of you. They should feel comfortable and under the shade of your protection. And when does this all come? When a person does dhikrullah, remembers Allah, then this is the sign of a dhakir, that he is not a person who frowns and takes defects out of people and sulks against them and criticizes them or say bad against them. Rather, the dhakir is so gentle, soft, that he meets people nicely, overwhelms them, he embraces enemies, he hides their defects, their sins. If there's a bad person who's a criminal, he meets them. You're very nice. I want to meet you because you want to meet him so that he can become good in your company, so you can benefit other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, I'm very good, I looks in the mirror, I looks at his face, I'm this, I'm better than others. Okay, you are good. But okay, your goodness, your good position, strength, then exchange that. That person you think is dirty, embrace that person, so you can exchange the goodness with him. So from your clock, that person can become better. Yes, then why do you argue and fight and quarrel and have enmity with other people then? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So Sufi, this is the deen, Islam, that's true in this, by the Sufis. So anyway, we were talking about dhikrullah in the beginning. So small kalamat, don't think it's a minor insignificant. Rather, in the hadith is stated, Sahih al-Bukhari, and it's come in the hadith kitab collection, that most of all on the day of judgment, the person who will get reward, the owner of reward, will be that individual who has said, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, most of all, he will get the rewards, most of all. So the old woman, will she have not recited? She knew nothing. She said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. She's reciting, she knew nothing else. Small tasbih is not a small tasbih. It's not a minor recitation. This is the tasbih, the prescription that the Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, gave to the old woman. For this reason, they stated to the women folk, sisters, that take bayah, pledge allegiance to a sheikh. Sisters don't know, one woman said to me, that she was from a village, remote area. She phoned, come the phone call sometimes, all night long. This is what I do, I give da'wah. Make the connection between the people and Allah. Because there's a time difference, isn't it? People are ahead in the hours of the elderly women think, oh, it's 5 o'clock here, it's 5 o'clock there as well. They think it's the same. They're, oh, Hazrat Sahab's awake now, it's morning. So they phoned at that time, and she said, I heard your bayan, your talk, and I've got a lot of peace, contentment in my heart, Hazrat Sahab. And I want to take bayah with you, but I don't know what is taking bayah. What's that? What's bayah? What's taking bayah? And someone said to me, you can't get bayah. No need for you to do tawbah, repent. Just make the rotis, my husband said, and serve your husband. And the person said to me, then person, just serve your husband, you're going to Jannah. She said, I feel like I hear your words, and I heard your dhikr twice. So the tears came out of my eyes, Hazrat Sahab. The tears came out. That we think women are just minor, the day of resurrection, that they will grab your necks, the women folk. And that the real verse that's come out, yeah, in the Surah Mumtana, that, oh my Prophet, this is for the believing women, this verse was real. Oh my Nabi, the believing women are coming to you, give them the pledge of allegiance. The men are not mentioned in this verse. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So look after your women, promote them, sister, your mother, your wife, your daughter, or make them all dhakir, connect them to Allah so nur can come into your houses. This will be your tabligh, propagation of Islam. The mother, take bayah, connect to the teacher, nothing will happen to you. They get scared. What will Shaykh say to me? I won't be able to do the actions, I can't pray. They get scared, the poor sisters. Oh, what wazifa the Shaykh will give to me? We know he's Naqshbandi, they don't give wazifa. They purify the heart. They don't give lengthy recitations. So what are they going to do and give a lengthy recitation? 1,000 read this. Oh no, I can't do this much. And then they say, well, I won't do it. Then I'll get a sin. What, subhanAllah, what a great ideology. I can't do this, what you'll prescribe to me, I'll get a sin. How much we made them scared, shaitan's made them scared, that they don't want, the shaitan doesn't allow them to come towards the shaykh, dhikr. But the door of paradise is open. If you do it, if you don't, no sin at all on your head. And this is just short prescription, you'll be able to do with ease. 3 times you can recite, say 3 times. If you can say, I said 3 times recite, that's it. So if you say once and there's a tree in Jannah, subhanAllah, what does she know? Anyhow, the points that came into my heart, I've shared with you. May Allah Ta'ala give us all islah, improvement. This Ramadan full of nur and light. Unique Ramadan Allah has given us this time, isn't it? Unique Ramadan. So, let's continue towards our dhikr now. Recite the Rushan. See here, the same kalimat will recite, you'll get enjoyment now. You've got the knowledge now about the thawab, the reward. Today, nowadays, I start with this kalima. Can, do you want to recite with me? Okay, let's. If you feel like it, then recite with me. One sister, she phoned yesterday or the day before. She said, Hazrat Sahab, I wait. Ooh, when the, you haven't recited the kalima that I read that you told me, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. She said, I was waiting. Look, the sisters, how much love they have for the deen. One, alhamdulillah, the kalima is so sweet, this verse. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the style as well of reciting is so sweet as well. The way that we are reciting our style, how beautiful this style is, isn't it? The eloquence, the way we implement it as well is so great.
لا إله إلا العظيم العليم كل شيء اسم رب السماوات كل شيء قديم نعم صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم ربنا إننا عملنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا كما صبرنا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا إسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا فانصرنا تطبيق الرحمة تغير أصبحنا وسم القيب الكبرياء والاسم وخلق ولم الليل والنهار ويدا في بعض العباد ولما أظن كنا وسط السلام الآخر والجمع أن هذه أصبحنا كم سامع الإمام المتقين أصبحنا فتحوا نورا وبركاته يا رب لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له اللهم اجعل خير هذا يوم اللهم اجعل خير اللهم نعوذ بك من شر اللهم لك قصدي بحرم يسول كبري في الدنيا صعب القرج يا رحمة يا رحمة يا الله يدين همالي بهيك سرج من هذه يا الله يدين همالي بهتي كدين من هذه يا الله يدين همالي بخشش كدين من هذه يا الله هم في رحمتين نعمتين فضلين كمال بهذه يا الله هم تمام وزمانش كون سدور فرما دي دنيا بيها دنیا میں ہو اخری یہ تمام آزمائشیں ہم پہ آسان فرما دے یا اللہ تمام مصیبتوں سے پریشانیوں سے بیماریوں سے یا اللہ حسد سے جلنے کرنے والوں سے کینہ رکھنے والوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو ہمارے خطاؤں سے جو جہالت میں نادانی میں ہم سے سرزد ہوئے کریم بغیر سزا کے معاف فرما دے مزالی کر اللہ بے عزیز میرے مولا کوئی کام بھی تیرے لیے دشوار نہیں میرے مولا جہنم کی آنکھوں سے بچا لے میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو ہماری خطاؤں کو جہنم کی آگ سے نہ چھوڑنا یا اللہ اپنی رحمت سے ٹھنڈا فرما دے یا اللہ اپنی رحمت سے ٹھنڈا فرما دے یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ جنت میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ جس چیز کی ہم کوشش کر رہے ہیں میرے مولا اپنے قلب کا مزہ ہمیں چکھا دے یا اللہ اپنے قلب کی لذت ہمیں نصیب فرما دے یا رحم الرحیمین اپنے فضل سے آج کی صبح کی عبادت ہمیں قبول فرما یا اللہ آج کی صبح کی عبادت ہماری قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینۃ فرشہ وعلیہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وساهم المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.